Now, the EFF at the weekend launching its election manifesto, promising voters a better government with a focus on jobs, jobs and jobs, and also stopping corruption. About 18,000 people packed the giant stadium in Soshanguve. So with the elections around the corner, voters are being promised, well, everything. We've had the ANC, we've had the EFF now, the DA coming up in a few weeks from now. On the line is political analyst Professor Lesibo Tufo. Professor, good afternoon. Welcome to the Afternoon Drive.
Good afternoon to you and the listeners.
Professor, just a question.
Let's see what therefore.
Sorry, Mike, yeah. Mike, my apologies, Professor.
All right.
Your take on what you heard at and saw at the weekend. Many promises being made, but I mean, is this whole thing practical? It's easy to promise, but you've got to deliver after that if you are elected.
Yeah, but isn't how the game is promised? I mean, isn't how the game is played? If you don't premise and you don't become outrageous, you don't become too generous in your use of the language, the voters may not go for you, especially the average Joes and especially those indeed who are desperate, unemployed, and hoping and thinking that you may be their redeemer. So you look at your target group and you use the language that would resonate with them. Oftentimes it's reckless. Oftentimes it's not the type of language that we'd expect from responsible leadership. However, that is how that's the way people get their vote.
All right, you get their votes. But, I mean, then the EFF, are they going for the big picture? Because I understand what you are saying, but if anybody says, say, for instance, 5,000 Rand basic salary for domestic workers will celebrate that. So homeowners may not.
Yes, indeed. But look at it in this way. I was there personally. The audience he was speaking to definitely ate out of his palm, because many things that he spoke about resonated with them. These are bread and butter issues, mundane issues they are contending with literally every day. And if somebody seems to sing the song of redemption, you are likely to embrace those. You listen to the figures that are stated. He knows Malema and his team that if they once they get into office, certainly some of the things, if not 60 to 70% of the things they're talking about, are not doable. Neither are they going to bother about it. However, the art of getting power tend to suggest that you do everything, you say anything possible, but once you are faced with the reality, and we assume the mantle of power, you speak a different language.
Yeah. All right, let's change tack a little bit. I mean, looking at what was said about the new NPA head, Shamila Batoy, I mean, some say this is pure deflection. There's the VBS scandal. There's also what happened with On Point Engineering. What's your take on that?
No, that was extremely unfortunate. That was extremely unfortunate. Whatever the reason for that, I don't think there was any justification. I wouldn't want to pretend otherwise. Let's give the lady a chance. Let's see how far we can go. If anything, she needs our support. We have to change tack. The NPA for many years hasn't covered itself in glory. Here is an opportunity to redeem itself. It behoves you and I to help them to do the right thing. But the language used in respect to the NPA was not a helpful one.
Is this not becoming a little bit obvious now? Because the EFF sort of have themselves in the corner with VBS. That story's not going to go away. By slamming or taking a shot at the NPA head, it's just, like I say, it's becoming very obvious.
Yeah, but say you want to use it as a preemptive strike. In the court of public opinion, you immediately become a loser. And indeed, it might alienate potential voters, especially the middle class, especially those who are reflective and critical when issues are being raised. So unless you are saying, I discard that category, that catchment area, and my constituency is the one that would not be critical of me. But if anything, but I think and I suspect, in retrospect, they should be regretting having made that statement. And the other thing that I found extremely regrettable as well is this polarizing language, and almost an obsession with Pravin Gordhan. They might have their own differences, but if you punt into this matter far too long, you begin to raise suspicions in other people's minds that there could be more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah. All right. Talking about land, land and land. It was all about land and jobs. The ANC indicating, I saw in the Sunday newspapers at the weekend, that they're going to leave land until probably after the election and then deal with it in Parliament. Does this open up a massive gap for the EFF to come through?
Look, when it comes to the land, right, I agree with what they are saying, and I also agree with what the ANC is saying. But all of them at one level, they are playing each other. The ANC knows very well that it, what it ought to have done, it failed to do. As former head of state Mkhanse once said, they lacked the political will. You don't even need, you don't need to change the Electoral Act. Section 25 in and by itself provides for that. And hence right now, they want to postpone finalizing the matter because they realize there is no need for that. That's the first one. The second thing, as far as I'm concerned, there is land owned by absentee landlords, land owned by state-owned enterprises, land owned by the state. Why don't you deal with that first? And only thereafter, when there is still room, then you can go for productive land owned by those who have more than perhaps what they should have. Only then will you get my vote.
Is the issue, though, not a little bit too complex for us to deal with? In other words, to be sorted out. The ANC, in other words, they want to have certain types of land redistribution. Isn't the issue too complex to be thought through, to be taken through before the election?
No, not really. Not really. Look, if you listen to the decision taken, right, at Nasrec, and what the president says are almost at variance. You hear Jimmy Manye says, you are not implementing the decisions taken. Because I can assure you, in my own reading and interpretation, if Tumamina was on his own, he would not go along with the decision that others seem to think about. Bolus, bolus, just take everything that belongs to the white and then make us happy. I don't think the president is for that. Hence, he speaks almost in ambiguous terms, because he really is not convinced that is the right way to go. And whenever he gets an opportunity, he would speak to that. But on the EFF, where I embrace them in full, is that the economy of Africa rests on the shoulders of women. And they are saying, to the extent possible, let's expropriate and give land to women. Yeah. Or where possible, let's give land to women even without expropriation. I support them on that one.
Yeah. All right, looking at the media then, and the EFF mending its relationship with the media, or at least trying to. I mean, do the EFF actually realize that the media is so important?
Well, they know that media is so important, and I think he toned down. There was some do-nothering when he spoke on that aspect. Because you can't dig hammer in the media and later on then say, come on, ladies and gentlemen, let's work together. You can't pick and choose. And you know, the democracy in all, everywhere under the sun, one of its bulwarks is a independent media. Yes, people can make mistakes. Yes, you can have embedded journalists. Yes, those must be exposed by all means possible. Yes, that's the route to take. But you cannot pay the media as the media, then it's my enemy if they don't agree with me.
Right, taking a call, Mboho in Pretoria. Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to 702.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me. Just a quick one for me, for the professor specifically. I'm glad he says he was at the stadium.
Yeah.
In the early parts of the CICC speech, he mentioned something about Minister Zokwana and the fact that we have a bloated cabinet. I agree that our cabinet is probably very, very bloated. But he mentioned that you cannot have a minister with a name, Zokwana. I couldn't, clearly get the logic or the analogy behind the two associations. How do you associate Zokwana and the bloated cabinet as one individual? And further on said that you can't have a minister who is called Zokwana. Can we have a minister who's called Mbogo? Or can we have a minister who's called Malem? That's just my issue. I couldn't understand what the CIC was saying there.
Okay. Oh, we seem to have lost you, Mbogo. Sorry, I didn't catch you at all, Professor.
Yes, I understand where he comes from. And indeed, I was extremely uncomfortable with that reference. Just say what you want to say, but with a modicum of respect.
Yeah.
Right? The name in and by itself, there's nothing wrong with that. right? But how it was said, I found it extremely uncomfortable, regrettable. But when it comes to the size of the cabinet, I think everybody agrees, including the current president. And indeed, almost everybody in the ruling party would agree that it's a bloated government. And indeed, you must dispose of the provinces as it was mooted in the ANC in 2004 and so on. I think on those points, I fully agree with them, because you have got one president called Ramaphosa and nine smaller Nyana presidents in the provinces. That's too costly for a small economy like ours. Mm.
All right, just one more question before I let you go, Professor. The Giants Stadium in Soshanguve, I mean, holding 18,000 people. It was packed to the brim, but only 18,000 people. Was this just smoke and mirrors, or should the EFF perhaps have gone for a bigger stadium?
Look, obviously the people were more than 18,000, because you could have had another 18,000 who were just sitting outside, not on the rafters, right, or on the pavilion. But they could still have gone there. But remember what he said. He said, let me deal before I present my story, that we chose this solely because it is a stadium where the people are, and what we are going to say is going to resonate with them. The lived experience of the people of Soshanguve is similar to the majority of the people. We opted not to go for the big, illustrious stadium that people would go for. We want to be with the people. I think he did well. He prefaced his presentation by saying that.
Yeah, okay, right. Thumbs up or thumbs down for Julius Malema and the EFF?
Well, the thumbs up to the extent that he can be a role model that says, yesterday I was a woodworker, today I'm talking education with relative authority, knowledge and competence. For that, I say thumbs up. He's a master's student, but he can still do better in terms of toning his language and operating within the limits of modesty, and indeed guided by the philosophy of Botu or Ubuntu.
Political analyst Professor Lesibo Tefo, thank you so much for coming on to the Afternoon Drive.